Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for this place. We thank you for these people. We thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love to us. And Lord, we just ask that you give us hearts and minds to listen and learn from your word. And to, Lord, we just ask to be changed by you this morning. So we just give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, Hood Canal Community Church. I just want to say before I get started that I just love you guys. I love you, and I appreciate every single person in here so much, and it really is a privilege to share with you this morning. And I want to say also that there's a good chance that my voice is going to crack horribly this morning because I was at a football game last night screaming like a crazy person, despite the best efforts of my wife last night. And so I just want to say, if my voice cracks, you just feel free to laugh. It's funny, so just feel free to just laugh if that happens, okay? I'm giving you permission. There's advantages to speaking, to preaching once every 7 or 8 years, and one of those advantages is that it's really easy to speak from a place that God is freshly working in your life, maybe a place where he's exposed a weakness in your life, and now he is growing and maturing you in that place. And that is certainly true this morning as I share some thoughts with you about being a light in the darkness. It's also true that I'm fully aware that I'm preaching this message to many of you who are already doing an amazing job of being that light in the darkness that the Lord has called us to be. So if anything, today's message is meant to be an encouragement to all of you to do so more and more, just like Paul's encouragement to the Thessalonians. But my purpose this morning, whether or not you are doing a good job shining for Jesus in this world, is to challenge us to all take our responsibility as light shiners even more seriously. My hope is that we all leave here this morning encouraged to shine our light more effectively for Christ. As we get started this morning, you should have an outline of the message that you can fill out as we go along. Or if you want to, it's a good size to wad up and throw at me if I say something that you don't like or if I'm going too long or whatever. Isaiah, that was a joke. I saw that twinkle in your eye. That's a joke. For the sake of time, we won't turn to most of the passages that I reference. Instead, you'll see that I've listed them for you so that you can check them out later. Okay, the primary passage that my sermon is based on is Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, which Isaiah read earlier. So let's all turn there. Like Isaiah said, it's on page 810 in your pew Bible, if you're using your pew Bible. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Very familiar passage. Okay, starting in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Obviously, this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is telling his followers that they are to let their light shine in the darkness, is not new to us. We know this. We all know as a follower of Christ, we are called to shine our light in the darkness. We've all read these words from Jesus many, many times. And I'm sure we all know what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is saying simply that if you are a follower of his, you have a calling or a mission. A mission to represent him, his glory, his righteousness, the truth of the gospel, through your words and actions, to a world that is dark, a world that is contrary, opposite, or even hostile to God and his character. Our mission is to represent Christ in a dark world. And we see this calling to represent Christ all over the New Testament. Just before Jesus tells his followers that they are to be lights in the world, he tells them that they are to be the salt or the flavor of Christ in the world, Matthew 5:13. In Philippians 2, verse 15, Paul says that in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, we shine as lights in the world. In 2 Corinthians, we are called to follow Paul's model of being the fragrance of Christ to the world and to be ambassadors for Christ. And then, of course, we can look at Jesus' last instructions to his disciples before he was raised back to heaven, what we like to call the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Many other places in the New Testament speak to the fact that we are to represent or embody the Lord Jesus Christ in a world that operates in opposition to him. And what is the goal? If we look back in the last part of verse 16, Matthew chapter 5, we can see the goal. What's the goal? Somebody tell me the goal. What's the goal of shining our light? Found in the last part of verse 16. Yeah, exactly right. It says that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. That is our goal. That people in the world would see the light that we shine, come to Christ, and give glory to the Father. The primary goal is advancing the kingdom of God in the hearts of the people of the world so that they will ultimately give glory to God. The primary goal is God's glory. So, here are some thoughts I wanted to share with you this morning about being a light in the darkness that God has been challenging me with over the past few years. Like I said, it's been a weak part in my life, and God has really been growing and maturing me in these ways. And so I hope that they might challenge or encourage some of you also. Okay, number one, and I think most importantly, realize or remember where your light comes from. Realize or remember where your light comes from. Just like an unlit candle or a flashlight with no batteries or the moon if the sun is not shining on it, we have no light in and of ourselves. In John 8:12, Jesus said that, "I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." I don't care how charming or intelligent or beautiful or moral you think you are. You have no light to shine apart from the glorious light that Jesus shines in and through you. You and I are given the light to shine in the darkness through the only source of life and light, Jesus Christ. The moment you first trust Christ and he takes up residence in your heart, you have light to share. But let me say this, I've been a believer for, I guess, about 36 years, and I have not always had light to share. Or maybe I should say that I've had light to share, but it's been very dim. Why is that? I think because throughout my life, I have not always been a good abider. I have not been a good abider. In John chapter 15, Jesus tells us that if we don't abide or remain in him, we can't bear fruit. In fact, we can do nothing. You won't shine in the darkness if your relationship with Jesus is not of first importance in your life. If you want to be a light in the darkness, trust Christ and abide in him. He is the only source of light. We have to remember and realize where our true light comes from. Number two, number your days. Number your days. Just like David prayed in Psalms 90:12, ask God to teach you to number your days that you may gain a heart of wisdom. David understood something really obvious, but really important about life. It doesn't last forever. We're all going to die at some point. Obvious, but important. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Unfortunately, in my life, I have said many times or thought many times, I will speak to this person or share the gospel with this person tomorrow. or I will do this thing that God wants me to do tomorrow. You guys ever notice that tomorrow never seems to come? Every single person in this room has a limited amount of time to shine our light in the darkness. Be like David and ask God for the wisdom to make each and every moment of each and every day count. Stop floating through life and start using your limited and incredibly valuable time on earth to shine the light of Christ into a world that needs it desperately. Number your days and get on with your mission. Number three, listen to the advice of Mordecai. You guys know who Mordecai is? He was a pretty awesome guy. In the fourth chapter of Esther, verse 14, Mordecai, who is Queen Esther's adoptive father and confidant, encourages Esther to consider that she was put into her position to save her people for such a time as this. For such a time as this. God used her specifically in a specific time and a specific place to save his people. So right now, I would kind of like to be Mordecai for you guys. And I would like to tell each one of you that God has made each and every one of you, each and every one of you with unique gifts and personalities. And he's put you all in unique circumstances to be a reflection of his light and glory. I don't care if you're 9, I don't care if you're 90, or you're short, you're tall, you're black or white or green, male or female. It doesn't matter if you have contact with hundreds of people a week, or maybe just the people you work with, or just your family, or maybe it's just one caregiver a week. It doesn't matter. It makes no difference if you feel gifted to be an evangelist, or a preacher, or a Bible study leader. It doesn't matter if you're painfully shy, or you think you look weird, or you talk funny. You think you talk funny. Scripture is very clear that every single one of you who have trusted in Jesus for salvation has a special and unique gifting from God that allows you to shine in the darkness for Christ in the unique circumstances that he has placed you in. Maybe it's to stand on a corner in Seattle and preach the gospel and get spit on. Maybe it's simply to encourage someone. Maybe it's to split someone's firewood or to take someone into your home. Maybe God is calling you to take your light to the Philippines, to move your family thousands of miles away to the Philippines. Maybe he's just calling you to walk across the street and share the gospel with your neighbor. You each have this privilege and responsibility of being a light in your unique circumstances, or God would have taken you home already. Think about that. There's a reason why you're here. Each one of you, there's a reason why you're here. If there wasn't a reason, you'd be gone. You wouldn't be here. It's no accident that you are who, when, and where you are. It's no accident that you are who, when, and where you are. Number four, recognize, resist, and pray against the traps of comfort and safety. Recognize, resist, and pray against the traps of comfort and safety. I used to coach high school football, and one particular Friday night, we were playing the team that would eventually win the state championship that year. And they were big and fast and strong, way bigger, way faster, way stronger than we were, and they were scary. And the game was rough. I remember it was cold and rainy, and we were losing, and some of our best players had gotten hurt, but we were hanging in there. We were giving a good account of ourselves and competing hard. At some point in the fourth quarter, I remember looking out on the field and seeing that a couple of my starters were just completely exhausted. They had given everything they had to give, and they had nothing left, and they needed a rest. They needed a break. But that was okay because I knew that I had a couple of good backups to put into the game, and they could be effective. So as I wheeled around to find these guys and put them in the game, I remember seeing a sight that I will never forget. Both of these players were up in the stands, sitting under a blanket next to their mommies. And I was just shocked. I couldn't believe I was seeing what I was seeing. They had chosen comfort and safety. They had chosen the comfort and safety of sitting next to their mommies under a blanket instead of their loyalty, over their loyalty to me and their teammates. They had taken the easy road instead of finding the courage to go into the game and do their jobs. Guys, I'm afraid that many of us have chosen to avoid the uncomfortable, sometimes scary work of shining the light of Christ in a dark world in favor of a safe and comfy lifestyle. And it can be scary and uncomfortable. Jesus says that they will hate us because they hate him. We like to be on the team. We like to wear the jersey and get the glory and have all the perks that go along with being on the team, but our jerseys are too clean. There's no mud or blood on them because we're up in the stands under a warm blanket. I believe that one of Satan's most effective strategies against American Christians has been to make us more concerned about preserving our comfortable and safe lifestyles than about fulfilling our responsibilities to represent God's light in God's light to the world. And God's word is full of challenges and commands to be brave and to fight. Fight the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6:12. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, Ephesians 6:10. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, Ephesians 6:13. With your help, I can advance against an army, and with my God, I can scale a wall, Psalms 18:29. So pray for the courage, people, and resist making comfort and safety your life goal. Number 5, speak radical truth in radical love. I use the word radical twice here very purposefully because both the message that God is calling us to take to the world and the manner in which he has called us to take it are radical. Something is called radical when it deviates from what is normal, when it is countercultural. Guys, Jesus has called us to carry the message of the gospel, a message that is absolute and unchanging to a people who call it superstitious, narrow, or even dangerous. Jesus tells his followers in John chapter 15 that they will be hated because of their allegiance to him. This is a message that is being considered more and more radical in our culture with each day that passes. You notice that? Each day I hear that term more and more, radical Christians. But we cannot just speak radical truth without radical love, without showing radical love. And to be honest, this is a tough one for me. This is a really hard one for me. Listen to what God's word has to say about what our love should look like. We are called to love our enemies and pray for them. Matthew 5:44. We're called to bless those who persecute us. Romans 12:14. Consider others more important than ourselves. Philippians 2:3. If someone strikes us, to turn the other cheek, and if someone steals our coat, to give them our shirt also. And of course, our greatest example of radical love is what Christ did on the cross for us. Talk about radical. This way of loving is completely counterintuitive to how the world thinks of love. The world says, love the lovable, love the beautiful, love those who can give something back to you, and hate those who disagree with you, and hate those who are in your way, and crush your enemy. That's what the world's definition or idea of love is. Guys, I believe that speaking radical truth and radical love is what really makes our light shine brightly in the darkness. It's what makes us stand out. The truth and love of Christ is what causes the darkness to flee. We are called to speak the unwavering radical truth of the gospel and to radically love those who may disagree with us, hate us, or persecute us. And this is only possible if we are abiding in Christ and asking him for a courageous, loving heart towards people in the world. So to recap, number one, remember where the true light comes from. Number your days. Keep in mind the advice of Mordecai that God may have placed you and has placed you in this world for such a time as this. Recognize, resist, and pray against the traps of comfort and safety, and speak radical truth in radical love. You guys notice that we live in a dark world? We live in a world where addictions are growing, where killing unborn children is accepted, where the twisting of God's design for marriage and gender is celebrated, where suicide rates are skyrocketing, and persecution against Christians is growing. At least in my lifetime, for sure, that darkness feels stronger now than it ever has. It feels blacker than it ever has. That's what's so awesome about having the light of Jesus within us. What an opportunity we have. The blacker the darkness, the brighter his light shines. You never see someone using a flashlight on a bright sunny day. There's no use for it. Each one of us is here on this earth, in this community, for such a time as this, with a mission given by God to represent him, to be his light, his fragrance, and his ambassadors. Let's get out from underneath our blankets, get out of the stands, and get into the game. And remember these words from Romans. If you're somebody who watches the news a lot and you're struggling with fear and you're just looking around you at what's going on in our world and you're afraid, I want to leave you with these words from Paul in Romans. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your hope is secure, and God's love for you is eternal and unshakable. Shine your light, knowing that the God you represent has already won. Let's pray. God, we just confess that we have not always shined your light like we should, God. I confess that, Lord. And we also confess that we don't have the ability to shine light apart from you and apart from your work in us. So we ask, God, that in these times, in these dark times, that we would look at these times as an amazing opportunity to stand out for you and to shine your light. God Almighty, use us. Lord, use us. But first of all, God, grow us each individually in our relationship with you, God, and that your light would then emanate out of us. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness and your love and your grace to us every day, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.